speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
The survival of the family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses is being used of God to deliver a farewell message to the people of Israel before they go into the nation that God had promised them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And we notice how that verse 4 is a great revelation. The Lord our God is one Lord. And how that there's an attack upon the survival of the family. And if people can destroy one's faith in God, then they can destroy other things that would lead one away from God. And we notice that the scriptures declare that God is one. And the Bible began simply, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that creation demands a creator. And just using common sense knows that from nothing comes nothing. Something is, therefore something eternally was, and that eternal something was God, the great architect of the universe, who brought everything into existence. And also that faith leads us to believe in God. But it's not enough just to believe, not enough just to see that there is a great passage, but there's a great response that needs to be made to that. And we see in verse 5 the great response that needs to be made to the great fact that there is one Lord. And that response is Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." God is simply saying, you're to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And in Matthew, Jesus called this the first, the great commandment. Now, how are we to love him? With all of our heart. That is, with a sincere love. A divided heart is an abomination to God. And if you're going to raise your family for God, you must love him with all your heart. To love him with all of our heart, our children must see that you're not a phony, that you're real, that you're genuine. Jesus condemned the Pharisees. He said, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." And if our children see that we're a phony, then our influence for God will not be what it ought to be. More than 150 years ago, a Jewish man lived with his family. He attended synagogue regularly in Germany. The family moved to another part of Germany, and one day the father came home and told the family that we're no longer going to the synagogue. We're going to start going to the state church, the Lutheran church. Now, the son in that family was disturbed, and he asked the father why. The father said, "Well, I can make more business contacts as a Lutheran than I can and our Jewish background. The family can prosper, and we'll be better there." Well, the young man that day saw in the face of his father something that wasn't genuine. He saw a phony. And friends, later on, history tells us that young man moved to England. He began to write, and we know about his writing. We know him as Karl Marx. As Mr. Harvey would say, "Thou, the rest of the story." Marx wrote that religion is the opiate of the people. That man is the father of godless communism. And we wonder how the course of world history would have been written if that boy had seen the face of his father, a man who was genuine, who stood by his conviction and his religious upbringing, instead of seeing a phony. Children need to see sincerity and genuineness on the part of their parents. So love God with all of your heart. Number two, love God with all of your soul. That is, with your very self. It's to be a selfless love. And our children need to see in parents a passionate, wholehearted love for the Lord and for his word and for his work. No part of life is marked private, as if to tell God to stay out of that part of your life. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with your life. And number three, love God with all of your might. Someone said it doesn't take much to be a Christian, but it takes all that one is. Love God with all of your strength. You may have a great physical strength and then put it to work for the Lord. Some have great emotional stability and great emotional strength. They can put it to work for God. Some may have great financial power and great ability in earning large sums. Put it to work in God's service. Some may have great intellectual power. Again, they need to put it to use for God's work. Love him with all of your strength. Love him with all of your might. And that's the response that God calls from us. But it's not enough to believe the revelation that the Lord our God is one. Not even enough just to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. But also from this great passage, there is a great responsibility. And that responsibility is spoken of in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and shall bind them, and shall write them, and shall help get this word of God into the lives of the children. We need to be so filled with love and appreciation for God that we feel a great responsibility to pass it from one generation to another. God wants His word in the hearts of parents. And then He wants those parents to get God's word in the hearts of His children and on, and to it continues to be a perpetual thing. And when is this word to be taught? Where is this faith and love to be communicated? Some say at church, right? The church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. Some say in Sunday Bible school, yes. And this great responsibility and this great knowledge to be taught in vacation Bible school, that's true. But that's not the primary place. And definitely it's not the place of public school. Our children ought to be able to pray when they want to pray. But we're not bent out of joint over the question of school prayer when parents don't even pray with their children at home. Where did God say that these teachings are to be communicated? The primary responsibility, mothers and fathers, is in the family. And we've lost it if we think that they're going to get all they need at church, if they're going to get all they need when they go to a vacation Bible school, or if they're going to get it at school. If you come to every service, you know, about only 4 hours a week, that responsibility to moms and dads is a great responsibility, and it's a primary responsibility of fathers. Fathers, provoke not the children to wrath, Ephesians 6, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the home is like a university. The students and professors are the teachers. They're the fathers. And the number one problem in America today, I believe, is dropout dads. The leadership of the home is given to fathers. It's a God-ordained responsibility. But fathers who do not take that responsibility to heart, who are shirkers and slackers, are failures. And it may be and interested in business and sports, but the major God-given assignment is the training children for life and training them for God. Children need fathers, and they need the father figure. They need a father figure who loves God with all of his heart, with all of his strength, with all of his soul. You take dropout dads and you compound that with misdirected moms, and no wonder we have such a problem in our society, in our country. Most often used babysitter in the country today is television. And the little ones whose mind is expanding at such a rapid pace is seeing liquor. He's seeing alcohol. He's seeing sex outside of marriage. He's seeing dysfunctional families. And what he's seeing on television is not what God would want them to see. And if you think this doesn't have any effect on the children of the land, you've got another thought coming, my friend. There are 100,000 children who are caged behind bars in prison because of the warped sense of values that they've assumed from what they've been watching. 4 out of 10 children are living in a broken home. 7 to 14 million will become alcoholics. 1 million girls from the age of 12 to 17 will bear a child out of wedlock. Doesn't include those that are aborted. 1 in 5 uses drugs each week. 10 million minors are infected with venereal disease, and that's growing, I'm told, by 5,000 a day. Why? You think that the answer is in Washington and some kind of social program the government can pass, you're mistaken. God says a responsibility is upon dads and upon moms. And so Moses said, and God said, teach your children. Start as infants. And we need to continue to teach our children. And teach them by example, teach them by word. A great responsibility. And the survival of the family depends upon looking to God, looking to His word, and following His precepts, following His teachings. I hope these thoughts have been helpful to us to think about strengthening our family, to begin with the church, and that the influence be felt in our families. And then each of us reaching out not only to our children, but reaching out to others to help mold and shape their lives. A great text, a great truths, a great responsibility, and the survival of the family in our nation depends upon it. It depends upon us living for God, believing in Him, trusting His words, being obedient, being responsible by repenting of our sins, turning away from sinful things, as the Lord commands in Luke 13, by confessing Christ before men, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation, then by being buried with Him in baptism to be born again, to live for the Lord, committed to Him, loving Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being. Until the next time I come your way, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.